Yes, welcome back to the show here on World Football Daily. I'm delighted today to be joined by a guest straight out of Major League Soccer. He is a man who has recently made the trip from the other side of the world all the way up to Canada to Toronto on loan. He is New Zealand's finest export, arguably, although I do like the wine as well. Jeremy Brockie joining us on the line. Jeremy, how are you doing today, mate?
Very good, thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Hey, it's a pleasure to have you on. We always love getting guests from Major League Soccer, especially those that are in the trade of playing football. Jeremy, I have to say, this is probably one of the most peculiar interviews I think we've done on World Football Daily, just because of the way that it all got arranged and having a chat with you on Twitter.
Yeah, it did.
I've never genuinely... And I was worried that you might think that I was having a go at you when I said, prove that you nutmegged Andrea Pirlo in a friendly game. Tell us first, is that a story that you dine out on regular occasions, or only when Pirlo's banging them in on his 100th cap?
Yeah, normally just when he bangs them in on his 100th cap. it's a very good memory. We played Italy in 2009 before the last Confederations Cup, and we played quite well against. We ended up losing 4-3, but yeah, it was a good, nice little nutmeg in front of our bench. He came sprinting over, and I sort of popped it between his legs. And I remember watching the replay on the bus after the game, and even the commentator said it's something that this young man will talk about for the rest of his career.
I mean, when it happened, is it something you kind of self consciously think in your head? I've just nutmegged Andrea Pirlo. Like, this is one of the world's best.
Yeah, I'm not too sure what I ended up doing with the ball afterwards. I probably just tripped over it and and the surprise that I got it between his legs. But definitely a very good memory to have.
A shirt swap after the game, potentially?
No, he stayed clear to me because of that, so I ended up getting De Rossi's instead.
there's no bad thing, I guess, and I suppose if you do skin one of the world's best by nutmegging them, they're not going to look too fondly on you. Jeremy, it's a peculiar story a peculiar interview that I want to ask you, because there's not many people that I get to say, what's it like to be managed by a former teammate? Obviously, you've made the trip from on loan from Wellington Phoenix down in the A-League up to Major League Soccer, coming out on loan up to Toronto FC. First and foremost, the adjustment coming up from, you know, the Southern Hemisphere all the way up to North in Toronto. You're feeling the cold. How are you settling in into Canada?
Yeah, I'm settling in very well. I know a little bit about the MLS from watching a little bits and pieces on TV back in New Zealand. I don't show too much, but it's definitely a league that's well known around the world. And when I got the opportunity to come over to Toronto in our off season back home, I jumped at the opportunity. And like you said, to be managed by Ryan Nelson, who's an absolute football god within the New Zealand ranks. It was a great opportunity. I know that I learned a lot off him from playing with him with the national team, and I thought to be working under him, even if it is just for two or three months, that hopefully I come back at the end of the time and go back to Wellington a better player. And I'm learning lots from working under him.
Is there a part of you that has to kind of detach yourself from that Ryan Nelson, my teammate, and look at him slightly differently in the dressing room and around the camp?
Yeah, definitely. That was one of the first things I asked him, because when you play with him, when you play with players, you sort of talk to each other through nicknames, and obviously Ryan's is Nelly. So when I was talking to him on the phone, I said, how do I address you? Do I call you Ryan, or do I call you Nelly, or what do I call you? And he said, look, just call me whatever you want. You could be calling me a couple of bad things in a month's time if I'm not playing you. So, but look, he's a good guy and very professional. And obviously, we're still in a bit of a bad trot at the moment. We got a good result on the weekend, but I definitely think he's the man to lead Toronto forward.
How does he differ as a player and a manager? Obviously, you have to present yourself in a different way, but have you noticed any other changes in Ryan?
Yeah, a little bit. Obviously, being a manager, you sort of have to distance yourself from the playing squad a little bit. He still likes to get involved in the boxes when we're warming up and training, but look, he's a very professional guy, and he's made the transition from a player to manager very quickly. And even though it's only early days for him as a manager, I think he'll be a very successful one.
Was there much news of, you said he's, you know, considered a footballing god in New Zealand. Was there much talk about it when he made that jump almost unexpectedly from QPR midway through the season as they were going down in the Premier League to the Championship and went off to Toronto to become a manager with, you know, almost no experience? Was there anything said about that at all in New Zealand? And if so, what was the reaction?
Yeah, it was obviously a big surprise because he was still playing and performing very well for QPR at the time, and we do rely on him for the national team. He's a big part of it, so it was a massive surprise for him to hang his boots up, and a bit of a state of shock to through the media of who's going to replace him for our upcoming World Cup qualifying games in November, and can we qualify without him? But luckily, we've got some good depth coming through in the New Zealand team at the moment, and I guess we'll have to deal with Adam.
was it considered, I don't know, maybe, I don't want to say a smart move, but were people convinced that he would be able to make this jump, or were there sceptics?
No, I think so. He's always been a very good leader on the park and in the change rooms as a player. And personally, from my dealings with him when I was playing with him as a player, I thought that he would be make a very good manager one day, and obviously it's come a little bit earlier than a lot of people expected, but he's definitely the man around Toronto at the moment, and if we can get a couple of wins and results, everything's here. We've got magnificent training facilities, and the club's looking to bring some more players in, and I think he's definitely the man to do so.
And you've obviously, as I say, you've been brought in up into Toronto for these few months to get the experience of Major League Soccer. In your mind, is Major League Soccer and the A-League, where's the difference in stature in terms of world football?
I think it's hard to say. When I talk to the players and the team and like the training facilities, the way the club sort of runs day-to-day stuff with going to games and looking after players that come in, it's a lot more more advanced. And I go to training now, and I've got my own locker, and we've got the hot and cold baths and the gym on site. And I guess that comes down to the money within the club as well, but also because it's trying to keep building and keep growing. And I guess the A-League will catch up in time, but those sorts of things, it's a joy to be here, and it's a very professional setup.
Because the A-League, obviously, you know, very recently founded, but has really sprung up quite quickly down in Australia, and has, I don't want to say overtaken Major League Soccer in any way, shape or form, but I think in Europe there's a very similar, you put the two on a very similar level, and it just shows how well the A-League's been organised in its foundation.
Yeah, it's definitely growing very quickly. I think we're coming up to season 9 now, and some of the players that Football Federation Australia has been able to bring to the league, like the Del Pieros and the Heskies and Shinji Ono, like it's definitely a league that's getting a lot of exposure of late, and those players help grow the game. And I guess the main priority for them is to make sure the clubs stay financially stable, which sometimes there's been a few owner turnovers in that, but if they can get that side of the game right, then it's definitely it's going to be great for that part of the world. And there's a lot of young players that have been picking up moves and going overseas. So there's people watching also.
Well, what do you want to take back from this time, this small spell in Major League Soccer, or do you want to go back at all? Is it something that you'd love to? Would you like to stay in Major League Soccer?
Yeah, look, obviously I've still got another 2 years on my contract in Wellington, and I've played in the A-League for 7 or 8 years now, and this is a great opportunity for me to come over to and play in a different professional league and test myself. I haven't got too much game time yet, but I feel in the game time that I've got, I haven't felt out of place. And I'm definitely always open to options, but I know that I have to go back to my club at the end of August at this stage. So, but like I said, it's a very worldwide showing league, and you never know who's watching at any time to maybe go to that next level.
You've had limited game time, but you have still made an impact, picked up an assist in your third game against the Philadelphia Union after coming on as a sub. You mentioned you might be Ryan said you might be giving him a few kind of curse words if you're not getting the game time. How are you feeling about the amount of time that you have been given? Do you think that it's been enough to make an impact in front of the stage that is Major League Soccer?
Yeah, look, obviously I came over and I've been pretty much already on my off season for 3 or 4 weeks. So the first couple of weeks, I was getting back into training, doing a few heavier sessions and trying to get the body back into the right shape to be able to last games. And like I said, I've come off the bench in the last couple of games and had a bit of an impact, but we've had some pretty positive results. And even though some of the results haven't been what we've wanted, the teams still perform well. So I'll wait for my chance, and when I get it, I'll have to make the most of it. So hopefully it's not too far away.
What's it like playing alongside and with Robert Earnshaw? Obviously a guy that's done it in England and done it in the Premier League and the Championship. And is that an experience that you really think can be fruitful for your development of the game, kind of partnering him in training and in matches?
Yeah, definitely. He's played at the highest level, like you just mentioned, in England. And hopefully I can learn a lot off him in the next couple of months. But he's a very smart player. He's obviously not big in size, but his goal on the weekend, he out-jumped a probably 6'5" defender to knob one in with his head. So he's a very smart player and he makes very smart runs. So anything that I can learn off the likes of him, and we've also got Danny Kuberman's at the club too. I'm really enjoying working with them too at the moment.
When you joined, it's something I always like to ask the guys when they move to a new club. When you came into the Toronto dressing room, who were the people that kind of helped you get right and integrated with the team? Or was it Ryan that kind of helped feed you straight into that kind of bosom of the squad, or were there other players that really kind of took you in and got you to feel right at home?
Yeah, I arrived at the same time as Stephen Caldwell, who obviously, he's made a name for himself playing in England as well. So we sort of we go to training every day together, and that helped the transition to much easier because we were both new going into the change room on the same day. And I just got off a flight, so I was on light duty for the first training session, and Kuberman's was just coming back from injury. So those two made me feel very welcome. But all the boys in the team are very easy to get along with, and When they welcome you into a club when you're new, and sometimes it can be a little bit nerve wracking, but they welcome you with wide arms, which always helps the transition.
How did you guys go out and celebrate that first away win on the road? Was there a bit of a celebration after the weekend, or was it business as usual and straight back down to training?
Oh, we didn't get too carried away. We went out for a bit of dinner and that, and we know that there's still a long way to catch up to get into the playoff position. So. But it's a good start. We got a draw the previous week, and obviously we've just had a win now. We've got a big game coming up in Houston on the weekend, so I'm looking forward to that. And I guess the season as a whole, we've conceded goals late, which has put us in the position that we're in at the moment. So, it's a good little start, and hopefully we carry on now.
And as somebody who, you said so yourself, has caught bits and bobs of Major League Soccer, Houston, obviously, a very intimidating place to go for anybody who's been in Major League Soccer for a while. That home record of theirs that stood for something like 38 games unbeaten in that new stadium, to go there could be seen as intimidating. Do you think the fact that, I don't want to say naivety in an insulting way or any way, shape or form, but do you think that kind of gives you an edge to not maybe get kind of drawn in by the impressive home record that Houston has?
Yeah, I think so. Like I said, because I don't know too much about them, I actually played at their stadium last year with the New Zealand national team, and it's a great little stadium, and all the boys have been saying how hot it's going to be at the game and stuff, but I'm used to that hot weather when we play in Australia every second weekend, so I'm looking forward to it. And like you say, I don't know too much about them or their home record, so if I get on the pitch, it'll be business as usual.
Definitely don't go and investigate it then, mate. Stay the kind of wool over the eyes type thing. Just finally, before we let you go, mate, I've got to ask you about this New Zealand national team squad. You were part of that FIFA 2010 World Cup squad and ended up coming on in the third group game of the tournament against Paraguay. I mean, what is that like as a young player, 22 at that point? I mean, it must be incredible to be involved in a World Cup, but especially with a side like New Zealand, where it almost means so much more.
Yeah, definitely. It's a dream come true. I set myself goals as a young kid to go to a World Cup and qualify for a World Cup and play in a World Cup. And being a small country like New Zealand, you don't really ever think it's going to happen. And to be able to get that opportunity to be in that squad and then get some game time, like I said, is just an absolute dream come true and something that I'll never, ever forget about. So we're very close to being able to maybe go back-to-back if we can get these home and away league qualifiers in November out of the way. And to be able to go once is very special, and to be so close to being able to go again, I'm very excited and looking forward to it, as all the boys are.
And you're looking set on, or at least in good form, to come out of your qualifying rounds this time and be, or at least have a very strong chance of representing OFC in the World Cup next year. I mean, that's the main goal now for New Zealand. It's not an unachievable aim by any stretch of the imagination.
No, definitely. It's we topped our group in the OFC qualification now, and we're just waiting on the CONCACAF area qualification to finish, and all the players are keeping a close eye on that one, which is a pretty tight competition at the moment. So November's the D-Day. We've got our home and away games there, and we'll be giving it all to try and go back-to-back World Cups.
Who would you like to have from CONCACAF if you could choose ideally right now?
Oh, it's a tough one. Some of those countries are very hard to go and play an away game. Got bad memories of playing in Costa Rica probably about 5 or 6 years ago, so I'd like to avoid them. But look, at the end of the day, it's all going to be a tough game, and we just have to make sure we turn up on the day and try and get the result.
And I suppose you're keeping a close eye on Mexico in the Confederations Cup just in case it goes bad for them and you have to end up meeting them as well.
Yeah, for sure. They're a very classy side as well. We've played them a couple of times and been on the end of a couple of bad results there too. So if we can avoid a country like Mexico, that would be ideal. But at the end of the day, whoever we get thrown up against, we've got to be up for it, because World Cup place is on the line.
You must be watching the Mexico and the Confederations Cup at the moment and thinking, we could have done better than Tahiti. We could have given the Nigerians a run for their money, surely.
Yeah, I know. I was watching that the other day, the Tahiti Nigeria game, and it brought back bad memories of our qualifying tournament last year, and it's a bad opportunity lost, because to play against some good opposition leading into these qualifying games, it would have been good. But yeah, it's painful watching it, but as Tahiti representing the Oceania area, we have to try and support them.
And it's just finally, sorry mate, I know I'm asking you loads of questions here, and I appreciate you taking the time out, mate. With watching the Confed Cup and wanting to be there, is it considered? I know it's always been thought of in Europe as it's the Confederations Cup, it's just a warm up tournament, but it's a real chance for because you don't have a guaranteed spot in the World Cup. Obviously, it's a real chance for the OFC teams to flex their muscles against the big boys of world football.
Oh yeah, definitely. And top class opposition doesn't come by very often for smaller countries like ourselves. And to always go and play and test yourself against the best, it raises everyone's game, and it builds good confidence, and to know that you're competing against some of these world class players. And so it's definitely a lost opportunity. And we'll make sure that it doesn't happen again next time.
Jeremy, it's an absolute pleasure to have spoken to you today and to have had you on World Football Daily. We appreciate you taking the time, and we look forward to hopefully catching up with you maybe at the end of your spell when you leave Toronto, and see what you've taken, and we'll hopefully be taking back to the A-League with you, or even staying in Major League Soccer, which would be fantastic as well, mate. And I hope you've picked out a decent haircut for yourself for the weekend.
Yeah, it looks pretty sharp, but you can be the judge of it if you watch it on the weekend.
Yeah, we'll have a look. Don't worry. Thanks very much, Jeremy, for joining us. Take care and have a good day.
Brilliant.
Jeremy Brockie there from the Toronto FC joining us here on World Football Daily.